Hi, and welcome to our service. If you're new here, you may be wondering who we are and what this church is all about. Well, the heart of the matter is this. We're a group of people doing our best to love God and love those around us. One of the ways we express this love is through worship, because our God is truly amazing. He created everything, great and small, and His love for us is incredible, powerful, and completely unconditional. We also spend time looking into His Word, the Bible, and receive practical teaching to guide us along His path in our everyday lives. But it doesn't end when the service is over. Throughout the week, we gather in groups to serve, pray, reach out to our community, and sometimes just to hang out and have fun. Life is full of challenges, and none of us are perfect. But we believe that's one of the reasons God has brought us together. We're all here to help and support each other through each step of life's journey, because nobody should have to travel alone. So thanks for joining us today. No matter who you are, we want you to know you are welcome.
Up to your feet, turn to the person next to you and say good morning. If you don't know them, say my name is. Tell them one thing you're happy about. Tell them one thing you're excited for. Tell them one thing God has done in your life this week. Tell them one thing you are expecting for God to do today, not tomorrow, not next week, not Thursday, Friday, but today. Now I want you to now join hands with them and begin to declare this. Say, in the name of Jesus,
in the name of Jesus,
I command an accelerated answer
to every prayer.
With our praise,
anything holding it back
comes down now.
In the name of Jesus.
If you believe that, release that hand. Begin to give God a shout of praise. The joy of the Lord is our strength. As you lift up your praise, watch the blessings begin to hit your life. As you lift up your praise, watch God begin to invade your natural with the supernatural. Come on, lift your hands, lift your voice. Let's get excited to worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. If you believe that, shout amen.
You're the party. But we want to pray real quickly. Pastor Chad and the team are heading up this morning. For many of you who don't know, we're doing our Ithaca launch this morning at 11 a.m. For those who don't know, when we took the church over, it was running about 15 people. And just a few weeks ago, we had 94 people. And this morning, we're doing a full-fledged launch. I'm talking like they've got inflatables, and they've got, they've got food. There's going to be preaching. We've been flyering in the community. We've had TV commercials going up there. We're believing God to add 100 people today up in Ithaca. Can you believe God with us? So we want to pray for Pastor Chad and Jade as they go on up. They're going to get to business. And you're going to see it a little bit thin this morning because a lot of people are heading up there to help them from this house. We just want to encourage you. Make sure. Can I have all the pastors and the ministers and their wives come on up real quickly? I know we're even thin with ministers and pastors and wives. Well, I'm praying for them as we send them out. And I just know that today's going to be not just phenomenal here, but can you imagine what's going to happen up in Ithaca this morning at 11 a.m.? It's going to be just phenomenal. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we just thank you for your anointing. Lord, I thank you for order in the Spirit. God, today, as they're getting ready to launch your kingdom, come, your will be done in Ithaca, and that is that all should be saved. Lord, not one shall be lost. We declare in Jesus' name that no diabolical attack will have any even influence in Jesus' name. Lord God, those who have heard the clarion call, and Lord, those that, Lord, have had an itching in their heart to come this morning, nothing will hold them back. And Lord, you'll fill that place. Hope will be given. Lord, life will be dispersed. Healing and miracles will be released. God, people will be changed forever. Lord, I thank you that Ithaca is ours in Jesus' name. Lord, wherever we tread our feet, it is ours. And we declare, God, a strong, powerful, supernatural impact on the city of Ithaca, Ithaca College, Cornell University, and, Lord, the people in the town. And, Lord Jesus, you are going to make your presence so known that, Lord, it will turn heads. Lord, surely, these are the people. This is the people that will turn the world upside down. And, God, we give you honor and glory in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Come on now. Hallelujah. Do it again. There's a joy no one can take away. How many of you love Sister Mackenzie Cole? We are so blessed at His Tabernacle with phenomenal worship. You know, what you see here, I'm just going to take a second because many people don't know. What happens here is awesome. But how many of you see lights? They've spent almost 40 hours this week setting up the new lights. Can you give the lighting crew a hand clap? We have sound. How many of you like sound? Brother Kenny and his whole team running the sound in the media. How many of you like the lights? And how many of you like the TVs? And how many of you like the live stream? Come on now. That doesn't just fall off the tree. Somebody's doing that. Amen? How many of you love the children's ministry? Amen. Right now, there will be between this morning about 160 children will receive ministry this morning on the other side of that wall. I don't know about you. We got a reason to shout. Amen. God's been good. So there's nobody can take the joy. Hey, come on now. Do that again.
Oh, the joy of the Lord is my strength, my strength. Oh, the joy of the Lord is my strength, my strength. Oh, the joy of the Lord is my strength, my strength. Oh, the joy of the Lord is my strength. That is joy no one can take away. You're the me stronger, stronger, stronger. I'm getting stronger. The joy of the Lord, it makes me stronger, greater, greater. My God is greater. His power is power. It makes me stronger. You're the joy no one can take away. You're the joy no one can take away. You're the peace inside I can't explain. You're the strength.
Father's love, and destined to die and poured out for all mankind. God's only Son, perfect and spotless one. He never sinned, but suffered as if he did. All authority, every victory is yours. All authority.
Testimony, everyone overcomes.
great is your name, my Jesus. You overcame.
Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light.
Jesus' name. You know, I just sense my spirit. Some of you have sung that song, and that's a good song. It's a great song. But I believe this morning God's going to bring revelation to knowledge to some of you. That's not going to be just a song anymore, but you're going to see him come through as a way maker. Your faith is going to start to spiral up because you're going to see God moving in a way you've never seen before in your personal life. God's going to be healing some folks this morning. There's an individual, you're having problems, and I actually believe it's more than one. You're having electrical problems with your heart. Just put your hand on your heart right now. Father, in Jesus' name, I release the anointing of the Holy Spirit. I command the heart to come in rhythm right now. Lord, I break right now arrhythmia, Lord, in the process of where it would bring somebody to a place of wound. And I command what has been wounded to be restored in Jesus' name. It's another individual here having serious sinus problems on the right side, left side of your face, wraps from your eyeball all the way down around your chin. Just get ready. God's going to release that. That's going to be a problem. You want to make sure you have tissues when that starts happening. No, I'm not even kidding you. It's not going to be a pretty fight, pretty sight, but God's going to set you free this morning, and you're not going to have that problem any longer. It's another individual. Almost feels like someone's been punching you right here. It's right here in the thigh. I can put my hand right on it. Right there in your thigh. It feels like someone's been punching you, all bruised up, and I believe God right now is just taking away the pain in Jesus' name. I do want to give God glory. Mike Kimball is in the house this morning. Many of you don't know who he is. He's one of the men in the biker ministry, and he was in a bike accident, I believe, 2 weeks ago and 3 weeks ago, and really, he fared very, very, very well, and God's kept him, and God is good. Also, we want to give God praise for Jimmy. Jimmy and his daughter were out riding, I believe, 2 nights ago and hit a deer. Bike didn't even go down. Kept it all the way up. Praise God. God is good. You need to pray for the bikers. I'm serious. You know, they're doing a phenomenal ministry in this community. And I'm just so proud that his tabernacle is not just in all the pretty stuff, but we're with people that don't know God. Amen. That's where the church should be, where people don't know God. It's not about us all congregating. We're going to be able to do that in heaven. What we need to do is get as many there as possible. I don't know about you. That's the whole purpose for being here. You can't take anything else to heaven with you but somebody else. Amen? I pray that God has laid that person on your heart this week. Because the way maker, the miracle maker, some of you are thinking, this person on my heart would never come to church, would never give their heart to Jesus. I want you to know, way maker, miracle worker, he can do that in that person's life. Can I ask you a question? How many people in this room, no one would ever have thought you would have ever been born again? I saw Mike Donovan's hammered up first. Whoosh. Is it true? Can you turn to someone and say, I thank God he came after me. On your way back to your chair, make sure you welcome 5 folks and say, I thank God Jesus came after me. Come on, go back. Go find somebody you don't know. The Bible says if you want to have a friend, be friendly. Don't go sit down. Go find somebody. I thank God he came after me. You got a minute and 30 seconds. Come on now. Get out of your chair. Go find somebody. Say good morning. I thank God that Jesus came after me. Cole and Buddy. Get those two. Get. Did you meet somebody? Did you find somebody? Jay Palmer is in the back. Make sure you say hi to him this morning. Man of God, I love you. Chad Mays is over there. I see him.
Good morning, HT family. It is time to settle on into your seats and pay attention to the announcements that are up and coming.
We want to grow our worship family choir huge this year. And if you love to sing and just be in the presence of God, I want you to email me at worship@histabernacle.com. We create an amazing, loving family environment. We enjoy music together and we just have fun. So every other Monday night at 6:30, we get together to be in the presence of God and prep the atmosphere for our Sunday morning services. If you're interested, again, please email me at worship@histabernacle.com.
Do you know what next month is? We have Marriage Encounter.
No, we changed the date. It's now November 8th through the 10th.
The total cost for this encounter is $425. You want to make sure you make your first deposit as soon as possible so that way you can secure your spot.
Give it up for Jody for doing that announcement. You couldn't pay me enough to do that. Good morning, His Tabernacle. How y'all doing this morning? All right. How about you guys turn to the person next to you and say, good morning. You look good. I'm happy you're here in the house. Welcome to our 9 a.m. service. Who had enjoyed worship this morning? Come on. Did God minister today or what? How amazing is that? So thank you so much for coming out to our 9 a.m. service. God is already moving in the parking lot, in the foyer during our worship time. We haven't gotten to the word yet, and God is already moving. But get ready for the word. I read the notes. It's going to be a good one. Amen? If this is your first time to worship with us, can I just see your hand up like this? Awesome. Can everybody else please put your hands together for our first-time attendees? There are thousands of churches you could have chose, but you guys chose here. We are so thankful. We honor that. We love you guys for that. If you have not received a guest packet outside, please keep your hand lifted up. We have a guest packet for you, some information in there. But most importantly, meet us outside that big tent after our church service. Get to know some of us. Have some coffee. Have some donuts. They're really good. And just get to know us a little bit more. Amen. So give it up one more time for our first-time attendees. And then get off our live stream. We love you guys so much. Thank you for tuning in. So who is excited for this week? Like, who already has some anticipation in their hearts for this week? So I don't know about you guys, but we love to teach in this church. We do not want anybody to walk away dumb or not knowing, okay? Sorry if that word offends you, but that's just the truth. We want you to be brilliant, intelligent people. So every Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, we have a class called Rock Solid Faith for you to, guess what? Have your faith get more rock solid. Is that awesome? And then we also have a step 2 class called End Times. Whoa, who loves to hear about the end times? Awesome. So I'm going to see all of you in my class this Tuesday at 7 p.m., okay? We're going to get it in. It's going to be over here in the big classroom. We're going to be talking about end times, okay? Every Tuesday, 7 to 8 p.m. And if you're from the Ithaca campus, Pastor will be teaching that as well on Thursdays. It's going to be an amazing class. We do not want you guys to miss that out. But even more exciting than that, we got groups this week. Who's pumped for groups? My group is meeting today. We got hot dogs, hamburgers, chicken wings. Y'all can't come because it's my group. But I actually want us to feature one group today. Do we have that picture up? Ooh, it's coming. Is it coming? Okay, well, while the picture, can we have the Pruitt stand up? There it is, awesome. Look, not only is this like a really amazing group, Not only have they gone through like physical battles in their life and emotional battles, they are still standing, but they took their group, put that picture back up, please. They took their group to come and serve in the house this week. They could have stayed home and drank coffee and ate donuts, but they said, we're going to get into the children's wing. We're going to paint these walls. We want to be a blessing to the house of God. That's what groups is about. So I want to just give a shout out one more time to the Pruitt group. You guys are amazing. You guys are a phenomenal example of what groups should be. And I pray my group is half as good as them. Amen. So if you want to get involved in a group, find a group leader and get signed up. We want to live life with you this week. Amen. All right, let's bring up Pastor Rhonda.
Good morning. This is one of my favorite times of the service where in this house we talk about money. Because for real, money is a huge part of your entire life. And God takes pleasure in the prosperity of his children. And I love that God cares about what's important in our lives. You see, we spend over 40 hours a week and then some earning money. And then the rest of the time we spend spending it or paying bills. So our lives really do wrap up around money. And God tells us, he teaches us how to prosper in his word. Malachi 3 tells us to bring all of the tithe into God's household. His word says that he is the owner of all things anyways. Everything belongs to the Lord. We've just been given opportunity to be stewards with the finances that are in our hands. And he tells us that 10% belongs to him. So when we tithe, we are returning to God what belongs to him. And he promises to open up heaven to us. Amen. His will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Those open windows of heaven are far greater than just our finances. When he opens up heaven to us, it is prosperity in our health. It's prosperity in our relationships. It's prosperity in our homes. And when we choose to follow God's plan for prosperity, our money goes from simply being natural to being supernatural. How many of you in this house have experienced the supernatural finance of God? Amen, amen. I choose to walk in that supernatural finance every single day of our lives. And we know in this house, we tithe, which it simply means 10% of our income. So if you're ready to give and walk in supernatural finance, stand to your feet. Let's make our supernatural declaration. We quote the word of God every single week over our money. This is not a religious act that we do. Even this quote, don't let it be religious to you. Let it be life. Let it be life. Let it be prophecy over your life this week. So Deuteronomy 28, repeat it after me, says, if I obey, then I am blessed going in. Oh, come on, let's say it like we're prophesying over our week. We're going to be blessed going into Monday. We're going to be blessed going into Tuesday. We're going to be blessed going into Wednesday. We're going to be blessed going out of Wednesday. All right, I want you to say it like we're prophesying over our very own lives. So I'm blessed going in. I'm blessed going out. I am blessed in my storehouse. I am blessed in my basket. The blessings will chase your tithes and offerings to the Lord. If you're watching via live stream, click on the giving button, give right along with us, or even text to give.
House, you guys are amazing givers, and we just want to thank the Lord that you're obedient to Jesus. Turn to someone and say, thank God you're obedient. You know, it really does change things. A lot of people don't realize, and maybe one of these days we just need to go through the entire thing, a list of what we do for the Lord at this house. This house is a busy house, a ministering house, and I thank God for you. Nothing could be done without you. Turn to someone and say, thank God for you. Amen. This morning, I want to pray. We, one of the sad parts about pastoring is sometimes you watch people leave. And, you know, some people leave bad. Turn to someone and say, never leave bad. Let me tell you how to leave. You ready? If you're going to leave, you leave as if you're going to come back. Okay? When you leave bad, it's a hard trail. But sometimes people leave because they're moving. And this morning, we want to pray for the Wynn family. If we could have, what's that? In second service, we're going to do that? So we're going to pray for them first service, too, because we miss them already. Where's TJ? I saw him carrying the baby. Where? Come on over here. His bride will be here second service. We love you, TJ. We're going to miss you. Does anybody know TJ? TJ wants you to know that anytime you want to come to Florida and stay with them, that you're always welcome. I'm going to post this number online just for you. So anytime you want to go stay with he and Erica, the house is always open. Is that fair? Is that good? We'll pray for your second service. Can you give them a hand clap as they're going to be leaving us? We love you.
Love you.
As you see, we have some folks sitting up on the pulpit area, and I would love to introduce to you some guests. And these are friends of ours. You know what's amazing? We talk about divine connections, how God does that. It's always unique. I ride bicycle, or I attempt to ride bicycle. Probably there's a better way to put it. And about 3 years ago, I was on a Facebook app on fat bike riding. Now, if you don't know what fat bike is, it has nothing to do with your waistline. It has to do with the size tires on the bicycle. And I came across a man in Idaho that is a beast bike rider. I'm talking like he's just a monster. And we just started talking, and he ended up being a pastor. Not just a pastor, but a pastor of a very successful church, Assemblies of God Church in Boise, Idaho. And he and his bride pastor five campuses, 3,500 people. And what a tremendous responsibility. But we've fostered a friendship and encouraging each other and situations you've gone through and family. My wife and I went out last year, and he tortured me on the hills of Idaho in bicycle as he tried to kill me. You know, I just want you to know he tried to kill me. Not only did he try to kill me with the trails he took me on, but there was an air hazard. No one was supposed to be outside, so he has me up in 8,000 feet elevation, breathing smoke, and I don't know, maybe he figured he was going to get it on the insurance policy or something. I'm just not really sure. So if you'll welcome with that, I'd just love to have them come and say hello, Pastor Monty Sears and Kelly Sears from Boise, Idaho. I love you guys.
Thank you, Pastor. If you love your pastors, come on, give them a great big hand. They love you. They serve you with excellence. And I tell you, Kelly and I, this is our very first time to the East Coast. And if we could get our grandchildren to move from Idaho to New York, we would be an associate pastor here. We just love them. Hey, the Lord said that he would build his church, and the gates of hell would not prevail against it. I travel all over the nation speaking, and you are blessed. The Lord is building his church in Horseheads, New York, and in Ithaca, New York. Come on, can you say good amen? He is building his church. Nothing can stop him. There's not a devil in hell that's not been defeated. God is building his church, and we're a part of that. I honor your pastors. This is one of the greatest churches in America. And so often it's easy to just come every Sunday, and lose sight of the awe and wonder of what God is doing. You are a part of a leading church in America. You are a part of the top 2% churches in the United States of America. And you are being led by premier pastors in all of America. Dr. Spencer has poured into my life, and what I do to him is I make him suffer on a bicycle. Come on. Amen. But it is an honor to be with you. We bless you. We have been so blessed. We love you, and we'll be back to visit again in Jesus' name. God bless you.
I just got to say, you all are rowdy. You must believe Joel chapter 2 that says, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. And your young men will dream dreams, your old men will see visions, and I'm going to pour it out on men and women and kids and everybody. You must believe that. Now listen, I just have a word for you this morning. No one else is coming. It's you. It's this generation. You have a mission field out there. So when you walk out these doors, you remember, I am filled with the power of God. I am filled with the Holy Spirit. I have a dream. I have a vision, and I will prophesy to this nation. And this region, let's win them for Jesus, shall we? Bless you.
Thank you so much for being here. We love you guys. We really do. He tortured me the other day. I have a hill near my house. I've named it Hell Hill. And the elevation is just torturous. And so, you know, he's trying to encourage me, and you know, you're gonna make this hill today. And we start riding the fat bikes up the hill, and I get a one third up the hill, and like twice he put his hand on my back while he's riding behind me, pushing me a little bit. And I get up about a third of the hill, and it's like, okay, I'm done. And so he says, wow, yeah, this is a tough hill. So I go back down as he's continuing up the hill. It gets worse as it goes up. And I go down to get the ATV. And so I get the ATV, and I'm rushing up the road, and I'm looking for him. He's not anywhere to be found because he's almost done Hell Hill. So he turns around. He comes back down Hell Hill at 46 miles an hour on a bicycle. It's dirt, by the way. Gets down to the bottom, and I'm thinking, all right. And he looks at me and he goes, yeah, I'm going to go back up a few more times. Hope you don't mind. I'll see you back at the house. I hate him. It's just horrible. He says to me yesterday, you just need a lighter bike. You'll get up there faster. But okay, I'm going to tell the truth. He said, you need to lose 10 pounds and get a lighter bike, and you get up the hill faster. Thanks. I haven't preached in 3 weeks. So why break the standard? I'm just going to go, everybody have a great day, and we love you. I'm trying new ways to preach, and so I just want to practice with you. So here we go. This is the year of divine connections. You are a divine connection in someone's life that will speak the gospel, love, and lead people to Jesus. What? Yeah, not bad. Brother Rich, you in? Yeah. Here we go. This is the year of... That is so weak. Come on now. I've been preaching 3 weeks. This is the year of divine connections. Man, if you only realize how powerful you are in Jesus Christ, how God has planted you and planned you and purposed your life to this exact timing of history, to where you are planted right here, right now, with the people surrounding you to be their divine connection between you and God. I'm so excited, because to realize how powerful we are makes us and puts us in a position where we can't walk with our shoulders slumped over and with a rug burn on our forehead and whining and complaining. Can you turn to someone and say, whining and complaining is not of God? I look at folks that's amazing to me. They have more potential than I ever have. And let me be honest with you. Listen, when I went to Bible school, people put bets down how long it would take me to get kicked out. That's the truth. I almost got kicked out twice, but I didn't, so nobody won the money. It's amazing to realize that when somebody looks at somebody else, they really can't see what God sees. You see, God does not look at your A, B, C, D. God is looking at your Z. Many of us get caught in our G. Many of us get caught in our J. Some of us get caught in our B and a half. And we sit back and we look at ourselves and we can't even fathom how God could love us. We can't fathom how God could minister through us. We can't fathom how our life can make impact. And today I just want to talk short. It's been 3 weeks. You got to give me some time. I just want to talk short on your past. You see, so many of us have been hindered of being the divine connection that we're called to be because of the past life that we've had, because of where we have come from. But I want you to know that God doesn't care where you've come from. He cares where you're going. We've talked about the power of time and how we cannot regain time. Time that was yesterday is dead. The second that just passed on that clock always reminding me that time is coming to an end of this sermon. Those seconds are now gone. They have been put in past time. But right now we have a moment to apprehend, and it's called living time. It's the moments that you and I have to be able to conquer this life and do great things for the Lord. Our past is not our identity. Turn to someone and say, your past is not your identity. Come on, tell them, Christ is your identity. We are so worldly minded, we are no earthly good. We have put more stock in where we've come from than where we're going. We believe more in our past, in what that has etched us to be, than in the future of the Spirit of God dwelling inside of us, that nothing shall be impossible for those who believe. It's time for the church to cross over and stop living in your past and live where God wants to take you, which is always good. Every good and precious gift comes down from the Father of lights. God's got great things for you. Not baby steps, but great things. Turn to someone and say, God's got great things for you. I was sharing this message with Pastor Monty, and he threw me two little nuggets. You'll like it. Our past is like our belly button. You can't be here without one. Unless you're Adam and Eve. I don't know. Did they have a belly button? You're not even sure. Here's another one. Every Christian has a past, just like every sinner has a future. Amen? So how many of you have got a belly button? That means you got yourself a past. Many of us have allowed the past life that we've had, because of our failures, because of our struggles, we've used excuses about our parents and our economic situation, maybe about where we grew up, how we grew up, and we've looked at those situations and we've said about our past, well, that's just the way my life is going to be. That's just what it's going to be. God can't use me because of. But today I just want to show you quickly, and I'm going to do this to the best of my ability, just some examples in the scripture about how God can take somebody who's really messed up. Anybody here have been messed up before? Tell somebody, you're still messed up. Philippians chapter 3, start with verse 12. Not as though I have already attained, either are already perfect, but I follow after, if that I apprehend, that from which I have apprehended of Christ. Here it is. I love this verse right here. This is one that I love, these two. Ready? Brethren, I don't count myself as have apprehended, but this one thing, shout one thing. Come on, shout one thing. If you got nothing out of this message but this, shout one thing. I can't hear you. Shout, I'm going to do this one thing. It was an echo. This one thing that I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before me, I press, shall push, shall press towards the mark of the prize of the high calling of God. You see, today, so many of us just always bring ourselves to a position where we disqualify ourselves, even though before God we're not disqualified at all. The Bible says, don't look at yourself more highly than you ought. I don't find that with the body of Christ in the majority of people. What I usually find is that people don't believe who God says they are. You see, when we actually start believing who God says we are, we walk different, we talk different. There is a confidence within us. And this is the confidence that we can have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if he hears us, the answer is on the way. The Bible talks about the power of confidence. But you can't have confidence if you're always laying hold of your past mistakes. Now listen, I'm not saying that they weren't screw-ups. Say amen. I'm not saying we weren't a little dumb in doing them. Can I say amen? I won't say they weren't bad choices. Can I say amen? I won't say that the consequences were not worth it. But the fact is that they're done. They're done. You can't fix them. They're gone. Why allow all those things from the past to hold you from your future? You see, the devil, the Bible says that in Romans chapter 8, verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk after the Spirit and not after the flesh. But there is condemnation. And where does condemnation come from? Condemnation usually comes the greatest place from ourselves. We'll lay in bed and we'll remember all the stupid things we've done. We'll lay in bed and remember, man, all that I did. How could God use somebody like me? The devil is one who loves to bring condemnation. When you start to accelerate in your things of God, when you start to grow in your relationship with the Lord, and all of a sudden somebody asks you to be on their team, and the devil comes back and reminds you, come on now, you know who you really are. Come on, you know the mistakes you did. Nobody else knows. But I know. Then the last place that condemnation always comes from, it always comes from other people. People don't mind. People don't mind telling you how bad you are. They don't mind reminding you of all your mistakes. They don't mind telling you, hey, who do you think you are? You and I know who you really are. They don't mind taking your mistakes of even 10 years ago and throwing them in your face. Come on, what you're going to be something big for God now? Don't you know? Facebook. Some of you should not be on Facebook. Some of you need to abandon today. Sink that ship. Why is that? Because you're the one perpetuating condemnation. Man, you've got to realize that these avenues of opportunity are to build and to strengthen, not to sink and destroy. Amen? Amen. Means so be it, so be careful. Some of you need to get off Facebook today. During the service, check in first, but then get off. The Bible is absolutely filled with flawed people. Flawed people are amazing. Do we have any flawed people in the room? Turn to someone and say, you are amazing. I love the religious folks. Kids come in. I remember when I was a youth pastor, man, I kept ministering, and I had a great group of kids coming in off the streets, and this one kid came in. He had long, scraggly hair. He was a guy, long, scraggly hair. He had earrings in his ear. He had a jean jacket on, and it said AC/DC, and you know he wrote it with magic markers all over it. And the pastor walked up to him and said, don't you ever come back to this church until you take your earrings out of your ear and you cut your hair. Well, I guarantee he never went back. And I gave my resignation just a few days later. But you see, everybody is messed up somewhere. Some people can see it and some people can't. I've told the story before, but I always think it pertinent. Is Amy Bishop's dad, Norm Berlew. He was on my board in my last church. And Norm was telling me a story about him and the last pastor. Him and the last pastor were driving down the road, and Norm had just gotten saved. He got saved in his, I believe, late 40s. And he had smoked his whole life. So there he was, you know. He had been smoking before he got in the car, and he smelled like smoke. You know, you've been around the folk. They smoke. You can smell that on them. And you know, they won't send you to hell, but you might smell like hell. And so here he is. He's sitting in the car with the pastor who weighs like 150 pounds more than he should. And he looked at Norm and he said, Norm, when you quit smoking, God will use you. And Norm looked at his pastor and said, Pastor, when you stop being a glutton, God will use you too. The fact is we all have our past. We all have our issues. But what I love about Jesus is that he has an awesome plan for you. What I love about Jesus is he has a destination for you. And you might still be a little messed up. God's not asking you to clean up to get in the boat. He's saying, I'll clean you up when you get in the boat. Man, don't let your past destroy your future. Let's just take Moses. Moses had an issue. He had a serious temper. You know, God was such an amazing God. This is the great part about the Lord. He said, before you were ever birthed, while you were in your mother's womb, I knew you. I want you to know God knew you. You're not a mistake. My mother told me I was a mistake. Mom, I'm sorry. She said, I was a mistake. But God knew that you were going to have that mistake. Whew. So here I am. No one would ever have thought Michael Spencer would have ever pastored a church. Ever. But God, before I was ever a twinkle in eternity, God planned me. God knew me. And God knows you. I don't care what somebody has told you. I don't care what they've declared to you. This one thing I know, that God's plan cannot be thwarted unless you lay hold more on your past than you do on your future. So, you know, this dude Moses, he needed a deliverer for the children. God needed a deliverer for the children of Israel. Pharaoh, he sent out a decree to destroy, to kill all the children 2 years and under. And his mama put him in a basket and sent him down. And Pharaoh's daughter found Moses. We all know the story. You know, you watch that TV program. Some of you just need to read the Bible. It's a little bit different. So here we are, man. Everything, you know, he's floating down. She grabs him and raises Moses in Pharaoh's house, which means he was educated, which means he was taught how to walk and how to talk. He was taught the educational system. And man, he was a smart man, but he had an issue. Exodus chapter 2, verse 11 says this, starting with verse 11. It says, time passed. Moses grew up. One day he went and saw his brothers. He's talking about the Israelites. For 400 years they had been in bondage, and there they were serving Pharaoh and Egypt as slaves. And he saw his brothers Israel, saw all their hard labor. Then he saw an Egyptian hit a Hebrew, one of his relatives. He looked this way and that, and then realized that there was no one in sight. He killed the Egyptian, buried him in the sand, and the next day he went out again, and two Hebrew men were fighting. He spoke to the man and who started and said, "Why are you hitting your neighbor?" And the man shot back, "Man, who do you think you are telling us what to do? What are you going to do, kill me like you did the Egyptian?" Moses, he starts to freak out. Bible says he panicked. Why? Because the word had gotten out that he was a murderer. You know what's amazing is that very few people are murderers. But when you start to look at Moses' life, you start to see that God's plan, even though it took some time, it started to unfold. He ran away. He was in the desert place for 40 years. And then God spoke to him, and he told him to go down to Egypt to deliver his people. Somebody who no one would have ever thought, a murderer, but God will redeem. I love God. Man, he can take an, you know what redemption is, right? I just bring it down to reality. How many of you buy cans or bottles? You buy a Pepsi, and it says 5 cents. So you take that and don't throw it in the garbage. You take that and you bring it back to the store, and they redeem it for 5 cents. I want you to know that you are redeemable before the mind of God. That you are somebody that it doesn't matter how many crinks or cranks or how many dents are in the can. It doesn't matter if that bottle's all twisted and torn. My wife does a great example with a $100 bill. She takes it. She rubs it in mud. She takes it out. She makes it all nasty. And then she hands it to somebody. And people grab that $100 bill. Why? Because it's still worth $100, even though it has marks from the past. Moses had his marks from the past, but God saw his future. And if Moses had said, "God, no," I want you to know that the Lord would have had to raise up another deliverer. But today, because Moses made a decision that he was going to obey God, because he would believe more in his future than he would in his past, all the children of Israel were delivered. Oh, I got a verse for that. Exodus chapter 3, verse 10. It's time to go back. I'm sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the people of Israel, out of Egypt. And Moses answered God, "But why me?" How many of you ever said that before the Lord? Why me? Because before you were ever formed, he said, "He's going to need this. She's going to need that. I am fearfully and wonderfully made." Oh yeah, that's right. Bald. Tall. Thinning. You're not a mistake. God's got a great plan for your life. Stop talking yourself out of God's plan. Stop saying, "Well, you know, I'm this and I'm that." God, why me? But say, "Jesus, I just know this, that if God, you're able to redeem a murderer named Moses, what can you do in my life? Lord, you see all the mess that I've made. You see all the problems that I've had. You see how many times I've given up even on myself. And God, even at times I've given up on you." And God is saying, "Listen, you can see all that, but let me show you what I see. Shh. You're going to deliver my people. I got a plan for you. You can't even understand how great it is. And yeah, you got a belly button. But the great part is, Jesus has his plan. Turn to someone and say, he's got a great plan for your life. Isn't that good? Dear Lord, that's called good news. Here's another one. How about Jacob? Do you know what the name Jacob means? It means deceiver. It's the planter. Now, how many of you know that? Can you imagine? We have new babies in the house. I believe front row, glory to God, new baby here. We also have the Nardi's babies in the house this morning. The twins are in the house, right? What's your baby's name? Lucas. Lucas is a great name, isn't it? It means what? It means light. Lucas Light. Okay, so let's change his name. Ready? Deceiver. Hi, I want to introduce my baby to you. Deceiver. What's your baby's name? Deceiver. Yay. Come on now. We all know that that's just not a good name. But what it is that he had issues. His issues were that he was sneaky. That he was deceitful. He was a thief. The Bible says he stole his brother's birthright. But God wasn't seeing him as Jacob. God was seeing, this is what I love about Jesus. Come on now, you just got to grab a hold of this beast. You and I see ourselves like this, but he don't see us like this at all. He sees us complete. He's looking at your Z and he's saying, don't give up. Man, if you only can see what I see. Come on now. Get up, get up, get up, get up, get up. Forget those things which are behind. Get up, get up, get up. Don't you lay there. Don't you stay there. Come on, get up. Let me give you a glimpse. Let me show you. Let me show you. Let me show you how I see you. You're going to be the leader of, come on now. You're going to be the leader of the motorcycle ministry. Brad Garrett. Who would ever have thought Brad Garrett would ever be doing ministry? Oh, you don't know him. Brad, stand up and wave at everybody. Brad, come up here. Come up here. I mean, look at the guy. He's got a goat that everybody wants. See how he saunters? Look at that goat. No one ever, ever. Am I lying? Your mama?
They spent a lot of time. A lot of time.
They're praying a lot. Here's a guy who is making impact with his team right here in this region.
Make them stand up too.
Jimmy?
Make the whole team stand up.
Yeah, can we have all the line crossers stand to their feet? All the line crossers. Amen. Right. Amazing. Honestly, just recently they went to a bike ride, and one of the people said, we feel safer when the line crossers pull in. Why? Well, because we represent Jesus Christ. Who would ever have thought? Who would ever have thought you? Who would ever have thought your life? God did. Who would ever have thought Pastor Jenkins? Pastor Jenkins, come over here. Who would ever have thought this young man would be helping Pastor Cody as a junior youth leader? Honestly, no one would ever have thought that. His life was tough. His life was a challenge. Maybe someday if you want to ask him his testimony, he's got a phenomenal testimony. But who would ever have thought that he would be standing here? but God did. Because it doesn't matter what your past is, it matters where God wants to bring you. Some of you have given up on your future. You only see yourself as the deceiver, but God sees you as Israel, the father of many nations. How about Paul the apostle? Paul was there when Stephen was stoned. This dude was like hard pressed to make sure that everybody who called themselves Christians was going to be put in jail and beaten. He was a persecutor. In fact, the Bible declares in Timothy, he said, I'm the chiefest of sinners. But God saw him to be an apostle who would write 13 books of the New Testament. No one ever thought. Man, you got to stop looking at yourself the way you do. Because if we're going to have the future that God has for us, we can't keep living in the past that condemns us. We've got to make a decision. Get out of my way. I'm not stopping. You see, when you understand this, your life changes. Your life changes because what other people are speaking in you doesn't really matter as much any longer. When the condemning voice comes from your past and says, come on now, remember those things that nobody knows about? Come on now. You remember when you were arrested? You remember, I won't tell the story. I don't know who said that, but I won't tell your story. All right, let's just tell it. No, I'm just kidding. I just watch people constantly. And one of the saddest parts about pastoring is watching people with the greatest potential walk away from it, flush it, throw it away because they don't believe who God says they are. And today, I just want you to realize this. It doesn't matter all your trouble. You can't change it. You got a belly button. But you don't have to live in it. Yeah, I'll tell that one. When I was a child in Massachusetts, two houses over were the Cutlers. And the Cutlers had an open sewer. Back in those days, they could get away with that stuff. And I don't know why Sean and I used to do this, but we'd put on our rubber boots and we'd go play in that open sewer. When you really think about it, that's disgusting. What's wrong with me? That is sick. We'd play in that open sewer. But I got good news. I didn't stay in the open sewer. And my wife said, amen. The other neighbor, he had pigs. And Kurt and I would have pig poop fights. It's not like cow. But I got great news for you.
Come on, Pastor.
I didn't stay in the pig pen, and I took a shower.
Hey!
I don't know what your scene is, but it's time to forget those things which are behind and press on. God's got great things for you. Great things for you. Not survival, not just barely making it into heaven, not just, come quickly. I want Jesus to come quick. Lord, come quickly, as the word of God declares. But Jesus, I know you've got great things. It's going to happen in Ithaca today. People's lives are going to be transformed in Ithaca today. People's lives are being transformed right here today. People watching my live stream, God's coming right through your computer, and he's changing your life right where you are. There are people that are going to watch this on television, and God is going to change your life. Why? Because they've allowed their past. They've allowed the past to destroy their future, and it's time to say, listen, I never did murder anybody. Maybe you did. Just don't say it out loud. I never did murder anybody. I never tortured Christians. I didn't deny Jesus publicly three times. I might have done it privately, but not publicly. I wasn't like Paul. Listen, I don't know if there's anybody that can size up to some of the guys that God used in the scriptures. Your name might not have ever been Jacob, but remember, he changed it to Israel. Don't give up on yourself. God hasn't. Don't you dare. Today, it's time not just to sit in neutral. It's time to put your life in gear with God. He's got a plan to use you in ministry. He's got a plan to use you to share the gospel with your friends and your neighbors. He's got a plan that you are going to be one of the greatest harvesters in this region. No one ever have thought that Billy Graham would have been Billy Graham. A Sunday school teacher. How is it possible? No one would ever have thought Smith Wigglesworth. Some of you don't even know his name. Smith Wigglesworth raised at least 7 people from the dead. 3 of them were embalmed. Miracles and signs and wonders. But here's a man, he grew up in England and he had a 3rd grade education. The only way he learned how to read was his wife taught him how to read the Bible. But when he read the Bible, he believed the Bible. God started using him in magnificent ways all over the planet. Today, you're not too young and you're not too old. You're not too messed up. You're not too scarred. You're not too dented. You're not too folded. He's got a plan for you. Do you choose to believe his plan or allow your past to destroy your future? I don't know about you. I got to have it. I got to keep moving forward. I refuse to allow my past to be my identity. I'm going to create through Jesus what his plans are for me. Amen. Bow your heads with me this morning. Today, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, maybe you're watching by live stream. You don't know Jesus as your Savior. Today, I want to introduce to you the very best friend you are ever going to have. Listen, people are going to constantly in your life abandon you. That was very encouraging, I know. There are people that are going to be, they're going to be deceivers. They're going to be Jacobs in your life. There are going to be Moseses in your life who might even try to kill your vision. But I want you to know that God, he has greatness for you. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I want you to know that everything is stopped until you accept him as Lord. I'm talking like vision, purpose, destiny, direction for life. Without Christ, you have no future except for being lost and cast into the lake of fire. What shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? And what will a man give in exchange for his soul? I don't know who you are. I don't know who brought you to this church. I don't know what's even going through your head. But I know this, that the Spirit of God is in this room. And God's Spirit is drawing you to salvation. He's saying, I know. I want you. I want you. Call on me and I'll change your life. Nope. You don't need a bar of soap. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Today, if you'd like to receive Jesus as your Savior, I'm not asking you to join a church. I'm not asking you to join a religion. I want you to know Jesus. If this morning you would like Jesus to be the Lord of your life, maybe you're in a backslidden condition or have never accepted Christ before, I want you to slide your hand up right now. I want to lead you to the best friend you're ever going to have. Is there anyone this morning that would like to accept Jesus as their Savior? Come on now, don't wait. Get your hand right up. Is there anyone this morning? 5. Come on, get your hand up. 4. Come on. 3. 2. And this is the last call. And 1. Saints, I want you to look at me. This means you didn't invite somebody. Remember, the person you hate the most is the one you won't share Christ with. I challenge you never to come alone to the house of God. Bring a sinner. Find somebody in Walmart and bring them. Find somebody at the bowling alley and bring them. Call your mom, your dad. Bring somebody to the house of God. Now, I don't mind that you go out and you lead them to Jesus yourself. But I hate ever to see a service when somebody does not give their heart to Jesus, because that means they're probably not unsaved people here. I know there are backslidden people here. I can point you out. Oh, that's the truth. I know there are backslidden folk in the house. And I always pray you respond. But what happens each week when you don't, your heart just keeps getting harder and harder and harder. And I pray that you'll respond to God soon before you get too hard and you're no longer able to be reached. Your heart, Bible calls it, you start stepping into what's called a perverted mind, what's twisted, unable to know right and wrong. Listen, don't stay in a backslidden state long. In fact, you'd be smart to get out of it today. I'm going to have the prayer team come around the front of the altar as quickly as I can. This morning, you just need to know this when you leave. God's got a plan for you. Turn to someone and say, God's got a plan for you. Tell somebody else, God's got a plan for you. If you will allow him to work his plan in your life, you'll exit this world with a smile on your face, because there's no greater place to be than in the will of God. Amen. Stand to your feet. I want to release a blessing to you this morning. Father, in the name of Jesus, I declare that no weapon formed against us shall prosper. God, I declare that your goodness will overcome and overwhelm us. Father, even the lost, Lord, even those watching by live stream, Father, even those this morning that are in the backslidden condition, I pray, God, that the goodness of God will lead them to repentance. Father, I thank you that each one of us you have such a dynamic plan for. And I ask in Jesus' name that not one of us will let that plan fall to the ground, but we will get up, forget those things which are behind, and we will press on. In the name of Jesus, and everybody said, the prayer team's around the front of the altar. If you need healing in your body, healing in your soul, you need someone just to agree with you, come grab somebody at the altar. They'll release the anointing. God will set you free.
I wanna clap a little louder than before.